KJ Q1 292. I'm Melanie Dahl. Coming up, campus safety, increasing security at Laurentian, later on Midday Q. Most of us will never have a UFO experience, but Michel Deschamps of Sudbury has had two. One when he was a young boy, and the other one just a few years ago, both in this area. UFO sightings are a lot more common than you think. In fact, in the late 60s, there were UFO waves when sightings were so common, many weren't even reported. Interest in UFOs is mounting with the release of the movie Fire in the Sky. It opens in Sudbury today. It's based on the story of an Arizona man who claims to have been abducted and held captive by aliens. Michelle had a chance to talk with the man, and I have Michelle on the phone right now. Michelle, before we talk about the movie Fire in the Sky, you have had two UFO experiences, right?
Yes, it was.
Was the other one?
The other one, yes, also.
Okay, the flying saucer sighting, can you describe that experience for us?
Okay, first, there was two phases to this sighting. The first one was actually seeing like a bright star-like object coming down from the sky due south of here, which I thought was probably between Henry and Sudbury.
Mm-hmm.
And it was coming down over the crest of the hills. And I figured it came down at an angle because the closer it got to the ground or the top of the hills, the brighter it got. And then when I got to a neighboring street, I was looking through the binoculars through the trees. There was no branches, no leaves, because this is in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see this little tiny oval in the distance going side to side about three times. Then it stopped and it blinked out as if somebody switched the light off. And then I'm looking through it, and I'm making sure there's no branches in the way or anything. And all of a sudden, it reappeared a little lower. So that really amazed me. So I got back in the car, and I said to myself, I should find another location from which to get a better view of the area where mm-hmm. it was at. So I went to a hill just across the tracks heading towards Radar Road.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got there, this thing had traveled from that location right next to the radar base. It came to a standstill right next to the radar base, and it was four or five times brighter than the lights that we find on the poles along the highway on the radar road.
Did anyone else report seeing anything that night?
No. I called the next day. I did report my sighting the next day to the OPP, regional, and the airport, and nobody else made a report. The amazing thing is that this was at 8:30 in the evening. It was not that late, and there were cars traveling on the radar road at the time.
Hmm. Now, what about back in 1974 when you were young? What was that sighting?
This one's a little foggy. All I remember is getting this image in my mind of seeing a silver metallic ball. And the only way that I can say that I actually found the date, I pinpointed the date by pure luck. I bought this book in a secondhand store, and it was talking about Sudbury townships and eastern townships, mm-hmm. Sudbury, Ontario, and eastern townships, and it was between July 12th and 15th, 1974, where a CP air flight from Montreal to Vancouver actually encountered a large disc over Sudbury, and I figured that at the same time there were probably these probes floating around, which was what I suspect I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was too small to be an actual saucer. Of course, it was perfectly circular, and it looked metallic, and I don't think it was big enough to even carry anybody inside.
Now, Michelle, the average person will never have a UFO experience. You've had two and a half.
Yeah.
Are we just not keeping our eyes open, or...
I've gotten some information from a friend, an INCO retiree, who said that in the late 60s, mostly 1967, UFO sightings were so common that you wouldn't even have to be lucky to actually see one. Every other night, if not every night, there were things flying out over Sudbury between 12 midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning. I was told by this man that if you did go out and look, just by chance, you would actually see something. And this is what they call the unknown 1967 UFO wave, which has been referenced numerous times in several books. And Sudbury has had its share of the UFO wave. And this man has himself had 51 sightings, all confirmed by the radar base at the time. But out of those 50 ones, which was mostly lights in the sky, you did have some really close encounters.
You never actually saw anything or anyone on either of your sightings, though? Actual structures?
No. I was the one near the radar base, in fact, it was so brilliant, it was pinkish white that I couldn't even discern any shapes between circular and oval. At one point, I thought I had a tear in my eye because it was pulsating. It was fading in just a wee bit and then fading back out a little bit, and I thought maybe I had something in my eye, but that was the object itself that was doing it. And I've since then gone up to the radar base outside the perimeter of the gate, and I videotaped the one section of the building that it was in front of, and that section of the building measures about approximately 40 feet wide.
Now, was this incident in 1990 what sparked you on to do more research into UFOs?
I've been doing research, in fact, since 1981. I started looking, I first heard of flying saucers, the term flying saucers, when I was 11 or 12, which was 2 years after I had my initial sighting, at the time, I guess I didn't really, I must have put it in the back of my mind because I never thought about it, but I had recurring dreams or whatever. Then in 1990, when I had this sighting, I got in touch with a nuclear physicist and I asked his opinion on what I should do with all this. I did put a book together. I call it my personal easy access book. In case people had questions and stuff, then I would show them, well, yes, UFOs do leave vapor trails. Some of them do make noise. I spoke to this nuclear physicist, and he told me to get in touch with MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. Although he's one of the chairpersons or consultants, he says, don't pay any attention to that. He says, this is the one group that you should get in touch with.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about this movie that's opening, Fire in the Sky. You had a chance to talk with the gentleman who had that UFO experience. Is that right?
Yeah. That was Travis Walton in Snowflake, Arizona.
Travis Walton.
Yeah.
Now, how difficult was it for him to get where it is today? I mean, he had an experience, obviously a much more involved experience than the ones you described that you had, but was it difficult for him to get to the point where they're making a movie about it today?
Well, I just found out, in fact, that he just recently installed a telephone, and that's when he got the call to... about the making the movie based on his story. And what he told me is, first of all, I asked him, says, well, what do you think about all the newspapers harassing you again and being, you know, being interviewed and probably make fun of again? He says, well, I'm bracing myself for the onslaught. We kept on talking. I thought maybe you'd hung up in my face or something, but we talked for about half an hour. And he was a very pleasant man. Of course, he doesn't like to talk about his experience, but what he told me was the movie, in fact, was supposed to make people experience the same feelings and the same trauma that he experienced while being abducted and what they did to him during the 5 days that he was gone.
Now, it was the police at one point thought that his friends had killed him or left him for dead in the woods or something, right?
Yeah, and they said that the police had said that, or some of them had said, that they were using the UFO story as a cover-up for the murder.
Yeah. Well, that's a really interesting movie. We're looking forward to seeing. You're working on another book, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And when do you expect to have that done?
Another 3 or 4 years there. I just got
a lot of research.
Got an offer to help me look for more articles, which would probably make... the completion of this book a lot quicker than another 3 or 4 years. It's painstaking work looking through every single page, especially now that I've already completed the 1940s and the 1950s. I'm up to the 1960s.
Are you looking for information on this? Is there a way people can get in contact with you if they have information?
They can call me at my home phone number, 969-3389. Any time of the night, they can leave a message. I usually lower the volume at night.
You have an answering machine, though, so...
Yes, I do.
You can leave a message.
Yeah, any time of the day.
Have you seen Fire in the Sky yet?
No. You're they did have a preview, I suppose, for the MUFON directors and some of the state section directors down in in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But as for myself, I'm just like everybody else. I'll be going to see it probably tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Tonight.
Yeah, right on. Well, Michelle, it's been really interesting talking to you. I tell you what, before your book comes out, if we could, I'd like to do another interview with you so we can maybe stir up some interest again. Is that okay?
Well, no problem.
Okay, well,
There's just one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
People will remember that 6 days, if you look at the date when Travis Walton was abducted, exactly 6 days later, there were UFOs reported at the radar base on November 11th at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I have the government documents to prove this.
Hmm. It's all so interesting and so, you know, you're not sure, and the enigma about it. So,
yeah.
Wow, really fascinating.
Oh, it is.
Well, Michelle, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on Midday Q, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Michelle Deschamps is a local UFO researcher. Up next, increasing security on campus on Midday Q.